Shall we begin the record? Okay, thank you. Good morning. We're going to call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order on January 14th, 2016. I'm Ted Hunter of Sound Law Center, who has been selected to hear and decide certain land use applications and appeals. Today, we have one item on the agenda, which is an application for approval of an accessory dwelling unit. In Kitsap County, ADUs, as they're known, that are outside urban growth areas, require a conditional use permit. So this is a conditional use permit hearing, but related to an accessory dwelling unit. We are guided in this hearing by the Kitsap County Code, which has a number of very specific criteria that must be satisfied in order for there to be approval of an ADU. In this particular application, there's some focus on setbacks from critical areas. There's a stream that is near the property, and that's one element we're looking at today, and a number of other criteria that will be reviewed during the course of this hearing. We have with us today a professional planner who has a number of years of experience. Mike Sands is here, who's prepared a staff report that analyzes this application and makes a recommendation on it. We also have, I can't see him, but I think he's here. Yes, good morning. Representative of the applicant that is present in the hearing room. We'll want to hear from him. Presence of the applicant or a representative of the applicant is essential for there to be a hearing, because it's necessary we get information from an applicant who has the burden of proof to show that the application should be approved. We also have other professional staff in the room that may have comments that come up during the course of the hearing, and we'll want to hear from those staff members as well. I don't believe there's any citizens here in the room today that have any comments. It appears not. And I haven't received any citizen comment on this application prior to today's hearing. So it's professional staff and the applicant's representative to inform me about what should happen when I make a decision on this application. This hearing is recorded. There's a record made. We ask that you give testimony under oath or affirmation, and the record will consist of the documents received into the record as exhibits today, and a transcript of any testimony offered. I should mention that I did receive in advance of the hearing a number of exhibits labeled 1 through 31, and then today three additional exhibits, 32, 33, and 34, and that consists of the application itself, some maps that show the location, a site plan, a habitat management plan, some elevations of the single family resident, some comments from health department, emails between planner and applicant representative, a parcel map, and a comp plan map, and a zoning map, as well as a critical areas map. There's also some environmental review conducted under the State Environmental Policy Act, and we have as part of the record a determination of non-significance. Finally, there's certification of public notice, and I reviewed that, and yes, notice was properly given by publication, posting, and by mail to allow this hearing to go forward. The staff report was placed here today, and then a memo revising the staff report that I think the planner will speak to as we now launch into the substance of the hearing. So are we ready to proceed? You want to come forward and offer your recommendation? Good morning to you. I'll ask that you take the oath. Do you swear to tell truth and testimony you give today?
Yes, I do. My name is Meg Sands, planner for the Department of Community Development. And I'd like to enter into the record exhibits 1 through 34, which you've previously mentioned, as well as the PowerPoint slides.
Okay, those are now admitted into the record. PowerPoint slides.
That'd be exhibit 35.
Yes, I don't quite have a copy of those yet, but we'll correct. Okay, get one.
And as you've noted, notice was properly given, which is Exhibit 32 in the record. The staff report is Exhibit 33, and the memo addressing some corrections to conditions as well as adding to conditions is Exhibit 34. And the applicant's representative has that document and has reviewed it. So you can address that in its totality.
Very good.
As you noted, CEPA determination was issued. That's Exhibit 31 in the record, and there were no appeals. So we will just be hearing the conditional use permit today. Because there are no public comments from any citizens, we were requesting that this be an uncontested hearing. And with that, I'll kind of try to breeze through the slides relatively quickly. And then, as you've noted, we have staff here. If you have any questions with regard to environmental issues, if I don't cover them to the extent that you'd like, then we have Steve Heacock here as environmental planner and CEPA official, as well as Candy Marcel with regard to stormwater.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll address those briefly with
you. Great. And maybe we can focus a little bit more. You mentioned it's a hearing on conditional use permit, as I did in my introduction. But there also seems to have been some reduction in the required setback from the stream. Did that occur administratively?
Yes, we can address that if I can just go through my presentation really briefly, because I'll provide an explanation.
Okay,
with
great.
Regard to
That's
that.
What I was hoping to get.
Yes.
Okay, please proceed.
So, you kind of roughly know where we are in the county. Essentially, this red outline, if I can get my mouse to show up on your screen. It's on my screen, but I don't see it showing up on yours. Anyway, it's a small red outline, somewhat in the center of the property. Obviously, to the east, we've got Puget Sound. The one waterway is Port Gamble Bay, and off to the west is Hood Canal. And Highway 104 runs on the north side of this subject property. This is just to kind of take you in a little bit closer. The intersection at State Highway 104 and Hansel Road to the north, Miller Bay to the south, is known as George's Corner. And you can see that there's some commercial development in that area. And then for the most part, it's a rural characteristic area. And you'll see the zoning in a minute for this subject property. This is an overlay with the critical areas. And so the stream that you were mentioning, you'll see that the stream off to the east actually is closer to the subject property. So the registration's a little bit off where it swings down and cuts through the property from an east-west direction is fairly close. And just briefly mention on here, you'll see some of the green area across the subject property. That's an indication of hydric soils, but there's been an evaluation and there are no wetlands on the subject property of issue.
Is that evaluation part of the record, or was that done as part of an environmental review?
It's mentioned in the staff report,
mm-hmm.
So it's covered there, as well as the environmental planner has actually been on site, so we can address that if you have more specific questions. But it is addressed under the critical areas section in the staff report.
Okay.
This is to show you the critical aquifers. It's not particularly mentioned in the staff report because for residential property, it's not really an issue that you're going to put a residential structure where there might be a critical aquifer. But it is in your record, and it's Exhibit 25. So if you're looking through the record, I just didn't particularly address it in the staff report because it wasn't particularly an issue. Tried to highlight those things that are of major importance.
And I'm
but
not certain.
For full disclosure, I just wanted be aware of it.
Is it the same well and septic system that would be used for this proposed ADU?
Well, not the same septic system.
Mm-hmm.
But
a new system, but the existing well.
Right. And then this is just to take you in a little bit closer. You can see that there's residential development in the area, generally acreage lots. There's quite a bit of vegetation. And most of the development on this particular property is towards the north end, and I just gave you another shot to kind of give you a better view of what the vegetation looks like from a different angle. And you can see that this property is heavily vegetated, and I'm sorry, I don't know why the mouse isn't showing up for your screen, but as you look to the south part of the property actually continues on beyond this imagery, and you're seeing several parcels with this imagery. It doesn't show you the property lines. Here's an indication of zoning, and you can see the commercial zoning at that corner that I mentioned, and around the surrounding property is all rural protection. As you move farther out, you'll get some rural residential zoning classifications. This is an indication, you'll see in the staff report, that I referenced two site plans, 12 and 13. 12 was prepared by a septic designer, that's generally the site plan of record, but the applicant's representative has done a much better site plan, so I'm also referencing that. I just want to show you on this one that they show, the designer shows a building envelope, and the applicant's representative has provided a more definitive site plan that will show you exactly where the building is going to go. But they're providing some setbacks. So to the right is where the road is. So on the right-hand side of the image is actually north. If you're looking straight up, that's actually west, just to give you the right orientation. And you can see from this that they're showing a setback of 200 feet from the front, which would be considered the front, and a minimum of 20 feet from the east property line. As I move to the other image, so this is only part of the parcel again.
Before you move on,
okay.
So proposed ADU building envelope.
Right.
And when I looked at this earlier, it looked like it was 40 by 60.
Yes, I'm going to address that.
All right. Because what I want to be able to do is know exactly what proposed site plan are we going to reference if there is approval. Okay.
Okay.
You're getting to that.
Right. And
you're
generally
leading me down that path.
I'm trying to.
All right, good. I'll be patient.
And when we receive the building permit generally is going to go from the septic designer's site plan. So they would show something similar to this. But when we prepare the binder and record the binder, we'll be using the more specific site plan that's more definitive with the actual building shape. So that's this. I've kept it in the same orientation. So to the right side is north along Highway 104. Okay, if you're looking straight up on this drawing, that's the west side. Okay, so you can see here that they've shown the stream. The stream wasn't shown on the previous site plan. So again, that's why I'm referencing both site plans. Okay, you'll see from this that the stream is 75 feet from the building wall. Okay, this structure is going in place of where previously a mobile home had been located. So there's no really new area to be disturbed to site this accessory dwelling unit. It's going where a previous mobile home was removed from. And that home was 75 feet essentially from the stream. So we're recognizing that, but because of its proximity, we're requiring the HMP, Habitat Management Plan, with mitigation. And that mitigation, so when you saw the building envelope, roughly 40 by 60, we're requiring 2,500 square feet, essentially just larger than that building envelope, because what can take place in siting this structure, that there's area beyond the structure to get it in place. So we've required mitigation, and you'll see that crosshatch in green on your site plan there that says proposed mitigation area 2,500 square feet. So what they've done, when you look at the site plan prepared by the septic designer, roughly 40 by 60, they're mitigating for that entire area. But the actual structure is going to displace just under 1,000 square feet. The actual ADU will be 897 square feet, or just under 900 square feet, but there's also an open porch area, so that adds some additional impervious area. But it's well within the 900 square foot limitation.
Let me catch up with you, okay, if I could, with a couple questions. So the 40 by 60 shown is on basically your septic planning,
yes,
area, and it's shown as that 2,400 square feet.
Right.
Do you relate to the mitigation?
Because when a designer, unfortunately, does their plans, they're not looking at a lot of the code elements that we do. They're just trying to say that the building is going to go somewhere within this box, and this box complies with setback requirements. And in the particular case of the designer, they didn't show the stream, partly because it's off-site, and they probably were unfamiliar.
Okay. That makes some sense. And my follow-up question is about the 75-foot setback that you keep, or 45
buffer.
Buffer. And I want to ask about the setback, because part of the ADU review is to determine if the setbacks, if there's compliance with setbacks.
Okay.
And so, there is here, I think, from the buffer, a 15-foot building setback.
Okay, I will let the environmental planner address that specifically. With the context of Title 17, we require setbacks for the ADU, and those setbacks are met for Title 17. And that's front, side, and rear standard zoning setbacks.
You know, you may be getting to the heart of the issue then. So when you look at it as the professional planner and you read the code about setbacks, you're thinking of that as side yard, rear,
zoning setbacks,
front,
correct. And this exceeds
not
all
buffer
of them.
Setbacks.
Correct.
Okay. So when you look for consistency with setbacks, it is for those other than buffer setbacks.
Correct. Environmental review usually is looking at that. We obviously work in conjunction with that, but I'll let the environmental planner go into the greater detail.
Well, I don't know if that's necessary. It's really how you're interpreting the code.
Okay.
And
so what
maybe,
we look
maybe that specific criteria, if it was examined.
So what we looked at is where that previous structure was on the property, the mobile home, and that distance was 75 feet. So it's still adhering to that same dimensional requirement. And if I go back to the...
Well, here's the criteria.
Aerial imagery.
It's H. And the review requirement is that all setback requirements for the zone in which the ADU is located shall apply.
Right.
So you read that setback
Title 17
for the zone to mean zoning code setbacks,
correct.
Not critical area setbacks.
That's correct.
That's administrative code interpretation by custom. I don't know, have you done that formally? Has there been a code interpretation issued on that?
Well, we also look at a project with regard to other titles, which would be Title 19 in this case.
Okay.
And, again, Mr. Heacock can address that title more specifically.
Well, it would be great if he wants to do that. But what I'm gathering from you is that when you read setbacks in the zone, to you that is
that's Title 17.
Zoning code.
That's right.
Okay. And that makes sense. And it's refreshing you're introducing some common sense, too, that since this was already a developed area, your view is that the mobile home, this proposal is no more harmful.
Correct.
To the buffer than the mobile home would
That's
have.
Correct.
And the mobile home could have remained there, but this is replacing it with some mitigation. So
yes.
Bottom line is, well, things are better with this.
That's
from an
correct.
Environmental and review standpoint.
Absolutely. Okay. And as you can see from this imagery, going back to that, that this is a heavily treated area along the east side, so it's protecting that stream with the existing vegetation, and none of that will be removed.
Okay.
It's also off-site to a large extent. But this is just to give you an image of the overall site, so you can see quite a bit of area goes to the south of this. So it's just giving you the overall parcel area, where the other was, you know, an inset of the area of development. This is imagery of the building that's there now for the single-family residence. Just to give you an idea of what it looks like, we're finding that it will be similar in appearance for the ADU. You can see that there's going to be lap siding, pitched roof, composite shingle, similar window treatment, and the color will be the same, both in body and trim. And then this is to take a look at the floor plan. And with regard to the floor plan, the single-family residence, when the calculation was done by the applicant's representative, they had kind of included in that top number where it says ground 1682, the garage. So once that's subtracted out and you look at the second floor, it's still well over 2,000 square feet. So the ADU is limited to the 900 square feet. And then here's the imagery of the floor plan for the accessory dwelling unit and the dimensions. And as pointed out, it's 897 square feet within a porch. And I might mention, if you take a look at the floor plan on a single-family residence, there's no accessory living quarters within that. So there's no concern about adding an ADU to this subject property. There's no guest house on the property. So this is allowed by code through the conditional use permit. And I didn't point out on the site plan, but there's an additional parking space available next to this building. So it meets that code criteria, and there's only one access into the property. So again, that's a code element that we evaluate for, and it meets that. The owner of the property resides in the single-family residence. They'll continue to do so after construction of the ADU, and they provided a statement with regard to that outlined in the staff report. And health has reviewed this and recommends approval on the project. And I'm just double-checking to see any other standard elements that we review for to make sure that I've covered them all for you. I guess the only other one kind of indicates that it's not a mobile home or recreational vehicle, and clearly this is going to be a new stick-built structure. So that element is also met. Oh, I didn't point out the distance. So the distance on the project, and I'm just going to swing back on the site plan here to show you. It's not marked on the plan, but I've verified it through measurement as well as got confirmation from the project representative that the distance between the existing home to where this ADU is going to be placed is at 105 feet. So it's well within the 150-foot dimension. And you can see just to the west side of the ADU, there's a space marked parking space that's available for that. And there's clearly two spaces adjacent to the home, another code element that we verify and check. And with that, I also want to point out that because of the critical area, with regard to stormwater, with the building permit, there'll be what's required an engineered small site review. So they don't need a full-blown site development activity permit, SDAP, that you may have heard from other projects that have come before you. But in this case, it can be processed through the building permit, and it's called what we term an ESSR, engineered small site review. And that's to address stormwater quality and quantity control. And that's done through the building permit. And I think that pretty much covers all the information that I wanted to address with you. In staff's evaluation of this project, we find that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan, that this proposal complies with or will comply with all requirements of code as a result of conditions that are outlined in the staff report, and that this proposal would not be detrimental to any existing or future uses of the property, and it's compatible based on conditions that we've outlined. And as a result, the Department of Community Development recommends approval of the Westfall Accessory Dwelling Unit subject to the 27 conditions. So the staff report indicates 25. It's actually 27 conditions. And if you refer to Exhibit 34, you'll see that I've modified the language slightly. We have tried to come up with standard conditions in some case, and in utilizing an older template, it had some of the wording not quite as we'd like it to say now, so I've adjusted that. And then I've added two conditions that are typically standard conditions, and they were just inadvertently left out. So I've asked somewhat for those to be renumbered, only in that they fall with the conditions that we place on it, because the last condition that was placed on here is from the health district. So it's just to try to keep all of the development services and engineering conditions together. And it's outlined in the memo to you, which is Exhibit 34. So I've specified those conditions with rewording first, and then asking that the following conditions be added after condition 22. So I've listed what it should be for 23 and 24 and outlined that 23 would become 25, 24 would become 26, and 25, the last condition, would be 27. And that's all outlined for you in the memo to try to make it easier for you.
Well, no, that's helpful. We sometimes do that without you first asking us to and feel like we're maybe overstepping. So thank you. That kind of numbering and keeping them the same subject area is very helpful to anyone understanding what actually happened with the review and approval. So I'm glad you did that.
And as I mentioned, the project representative has that memo, so they're aware of that request and can, you know, speak to whether they agree with the conditions.
Great. We're going to get him up here soon. Thank you for delivering your staff report.
Do you need any other staff?
Well, Mr. Heacock might want to speak to that. It's, I think I'm gaining an understanding, but if we can just kind of put the cap on that one, if there is the same understanding. Good morning, Mr. Heacock. And you
Good morning.
Tell truth and testimony you give.
I do.
Thank you. So you heard the discussion that I had with Meg Sands about this, what we call a setback in the critical areas code from the buffer.
Yes.
But as I understand it, staff has interpreted the ADU criteria to mean setback only in the zoning code. And that phrase is in there.
Sure.
So that makes sense. So should we call it a setback? And in this case, though, we kind of wink at it and we're not going to apply it?
I'll tell you a couple things that we do have codified in Title 19 that does address existing development, if you will. This is kind of a morphed buffer reduction, if you will, in the fact that our code under the general critical area ordinance under Title 19-100-130 in relation to standards for existing development. And under, let me look at this in a second here, regarding existing non-conforming structures, under 19-100-130B2, we have structures in existence on the effective date of the ordinance codified in this title that do not meet the setback or buffer requirements of this title may be remodeled or reconstructed, provided that the new construction or related activity does not further intrude into the critical area or its associated buffers.
Oh, interesting. Is a reconstruction?
We had an existing use here on this property for that structure. However, we do under Title 19-300 and the Shoreline Code also have additional standards where we have an area that requires analysis, if you will. So we did ask the applicant to go through analysis. They had a wetland report from the Wetland Corps that created a habitat management plan. And so the code does allow for the staff to ask for additional mitigation if we feel it might be warranted in this case. And as you saw in the aerial photos, the adjacent property and the of course, the landowner's property is really well vegetated and very mature Douglas fir and cedar forest associated with the stream. And it's actually a very beautiful setting there as well. But the implementation of this habitat management plan in discussion with the Wetland Corps staff, we felt that it was going to address any kind of use, if you will, of this structure and the replacement of this structure here. So we feel that it's adequately addressed and it's correctly cited in the staff report as well.
Well, it seems like you're speaking to kind of the spirit of the code.
Yes.
There may be a way to get there technically.
Correct.
And don't get me wrong, it's refreshing to speak to the spirit of the code.
Yeah.
Particularly when there's no controversy about it and all neighbors were notified, everyone seems to be in agreement, and then you're adding another layer that environmentally there appears to be not only no additional impact, but there would be some mitigation.
Right.
And you can kind of get there technically, if I hear you right, by saying, well, if it's reconstruction,
yes,
then it can exist within that setback.
Yes.
So for purposes of, and maybe I use the word appropriately, we kind of wink at it a little bit. Mm-hmm. If somebody really wanted to push that hard, maybe it's not reconstruction, maybe it's replacement, but we're not getting hung up on that. You found a way,
yeah.
And the spirit of the code is,
that's correct.
It recognizes that if there was a non-conforming structure,
right,
it can be remodeled, reconstructed.
Yes.
If it doesn't intrude more into the setback, then that's fine.
Exactly.
And that's the intent of the county commissioners when they pass the code.
That's correct.
So that's what we're doing here.
Yes.
In addition, even if it didn't strictly, and we're not even going there, but even if it didn't strictly qualify as reconstruction,
yes,
there's enough other factors,
right,
that environmentally it does not create any additional harm after all.
That's
why we have a critical areas code.
That's absolutely
okay,
right.
Okay, good. I get it.
The other interesting component in this case is that this stream isn't even on this landowner's property where there's a problem with the buffer. As it does come onto their property, then it fully meets the buffer.
Mm.
So there's an area on site. And so when I had done the site visit, there was an area on site that I did reaffirm and with the conversation I had with the Wetland Corps staff that this area was a spot where there were blackberries and would definitely be an enhancement near the stream feature. And as you see on the we get the mouse to work. Look at that. That's funny, mate. So you'll see here that this area is a patch of blackberries, and so it's a 2,500 square foot area. That's kind of near the stream. That's just an area that will be the enhancement area. It's a perfect opportunity to do some enhancements there and then provide some cooling features as well for the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, since you're there at the podium,
yeah.
Makes sense. Spoke to this earlier about wetlands. Is it you that visited the property and made that determination that there would be no?
I did visit the property, and in fact, the analysis from the Wetland Corps also did that iteration, because when we first met with the applicant's representative, we saw the hydric soil layer, and that's what triggered that site visit. We said, "Why don't we take a look? Have you take a look at the stream?" And also, are there wetlands within the area?
So you visited with the Corps representative?
No, I had visited the site later and verified that their findings.
All right.
They do actually really good work, and I do know their representative pretty well.
So there are hydric soils, but there's not hydric vegetation or other indicators?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that common? Does that happen once in a while that you can see hydric soils without the other indicators?
It does.
And does that happen because I remove all the hydric vegetation?
The interesting thing about the hydric soil layer is it's from a the analysis was done from aerial photography from 1964 aerial photos, and then ground truth. So the Kitsap County Conservation District had assembled the soil survey, and the hydric soil layer is from that original 1980 soil survey. So the accuracy from aerial photography review and occasional field implementation, there are some areas of the county where there are hydric soil layers and, in fact, wetland layers that just aren't very accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're referencing data from 30 to 50 years ago.
Yes.
Is it possible that site conditions can change over that period of time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Which is why you visited the site.
Yes.
And bottom line, you determined by walking the site and looking for indicators of wetland areas in addition to hydric soils that none existed.
That's correct.
No wetlands on the site.
Right. Well, there's wetlands way to the it'll be south of the property, but well in excess of 200 feet. So we just don't have any problem with this property in relation to that. And then there's a wetland to the west of the site as well, but again, it's well over 200 feet away. So they're just not, we don't regulate for anything that is above and beyond what our buffers are.
Right. Kind of some common sense. You can eyeball it, and if it's that far away, don't need to do a wetland delineation.
That's correct.
Because it just would lack common sense.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's refreshing. It seems like an appropriate way to approach land use proposals.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, thank you for being here this morning and offering your testimony.
Thank you very much.
We do have an applicant representative here, and now would be an appropriate time for him to come forward, take the oath, and then speak to what you've heard this morning and to the conditions. Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell truth?
I do.
In testimony you give. Thank you. And your name, please.
My name is Sheldon Smith.
Mr. Sheldon Smith is here on behalf of the property owners. Okay, you heard discussions from the county staff, and was there anything in their testimony that you wanted to speak to?
No, not really. I agree with the conditions, and it's all in order.
You had a chance to look at the revisions that are in the Exhibit 34 that were spoken to by Big Sands this morning?
I did, yes.
Okay.
And in regard to the engineered plan, we're going to be submitting that shortly for drainage.
Is there a timeline that your client is looking to for beginning construction?
He's hoping for within like a month or so, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the intent is? Why an ADU? Is it family members? Is it rental? What's the...
It is for family, yeah.
For family.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything more you want to add?
No, sir.
You're a man of few words. Okay. Everything's in order. I'll take that as the quote that you offered here this morning. And you're ready to proceed with the conditions that were recommended by staff.
Correct.
All right, very good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this application with any comments or questions or concerns? I see no indication of that. So then it would be appropriate at 10:45 to close this record. I'll now do so. And I will consider the documents and testimony presented and issue a decision within the next 10 working days. Thank you all for being here this morning. We are now adjourned.